How do you consume news besides listening to Here and Now? Well, the answer may depend on your age, according to a new study from the American Press Institute. Derek Thompson of The Atlantic joins us from New York to talk about it. Derek, welcome back.
Thank you.
And perhaps not surprisingly, this report found that 80% of young people get their news online. Let's dig into that a little bit, first of all. What sites are we talking about?
We're talking about Facebook. The most popular mobile apps that aren't games are the following: Facebook, Facebook Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. So that's, if you're playing the home game, Facebook, Facebook, bought by Facebook, bought by Facebook. So if you're interested in sort of a short answer to the question, it certainly does seem to be Facebook. But more generally, I'd say it's streams. I think young people are very comfortable with apps, with news organized in vertical streams where you don't necessarily get a perfectly curated picture of the world the same way that the New York Times has done for hundreds of years and shows like Here and Now do as well. Instead, you get sort of a mishmash of pictures of your friends and pictures of babies and animals. And then, oh, here's also an international news story as well.
And that is a way that people are choosing to get their news, that while they see that it's their neighbor's birthday and they see that their friend is vacationing in the Caribbean, they also notice that some senators have sent a letter to Iran.
Right, exactly. It's sort of like the digitization of your typical brunch conversation. It doesn't go straight through the news from A1 to B1 to C1. You discuss a lot of topics, and occasionally international affairs will come up. When I looked at this report, one thing that occurred to me was that it seemed like we are living in an age of an accidental news junkie, by which I would say it's someone who's not necessarily interested in the news qua news, but they spend so much time on Facebook and Twitter that they almost accidentally develop a kind of soft focus expertise in current affairs. And so I think that even though it's possible to disparage this on the one hand by saying that people, young people, aren't buying the news directly, they aren't subscribing to as many newspapers, on the other hand, they are reading a lot and typing a lot and writing a lot. And so their overall media consumption is considerably higher, I would say, than anything we've been used to in the last, say, half century.
But you say they're not buying. They don't want to pay for the news that they're getting.
There's simply too much free news, I think. Just about every single news organization that has a paid product, say The Atlantic or MSNBC, also has a free product, MSNBC.com or TheAtlantic.com. And this is done explicitly because there's an expectation that a certain part of our demographic, which skews young, does not expect to pay anything in exchange for reading the news. They expect it to come to them for free, or at least for the upfront cost of an internet connection. So I do think, according to this report that I wrote about from the American Press Institute, it did say that fewer than half of young people self-reported paying for the news. And because of moderator bias, I would actually expect a lot of those young people to probably lie to the surveyor. So I would expect it's probably closer to a third of young people who regularly pay or have paid for the news in the last few months.
You think that they don't want to be embarrassed into saying that they're not paying for their news?
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite stories from media history is that in the 1920s, George Gallup, the famous Gallup of Gallup polling, he was a graduate student at the University of Iowa, and he did a famous dissertation where he asked people, what's your favorite section of the newspaper, people in Des Moines? They all said current affairs, international affairs. Then he goes to their house and he says, he holds up the newspaper. He says, tell me what you've read. And it turned out that when you ask people directly, the most popular part of the newspaper wasn't the news at all. It was the cartoons.
The comics.
So this isn't exactly the comics. So this isn't a new problem. This isn't a 2015 thing. This is a human thing, human psychology. We are interested in ideas that are easy to consume, and cartoons are certainly easier to consume than ISIS.
Okay. What are the implications of this for news organizations? We talked about the idea that people don't want to pay. Obviously, news organizations have to operate with a budget. They're going to have to figure out a way to get around that if younger people who are consuming the news don't want to pay for a subscription. But what does all this mean for these news organizations?
I think a lot about the problem of marketing the news. I spend a lot of time writing articles, and then the question is, how do I get people to read anything that I've written? When you're marketing an article in, say, the 1980s for the New York Times or the Washington Post, you understand that your audience is going to find your article in the New York Times or the Washington Post. They're going to open up that paper bundle and find your article. But today, the portal for news is no longer that bundle of paper. It's rather a bundle of pictures of your friends and pictures of babies and pictures of cats and dogs and some news that is the modern news feed on Facebook and Twitter. So you are writing, you are marketing your message, not necessarily for people who expect to find your news, but against these photos. You want to make your article seem as clickable as things that people as the photos that people would otherwise click.
Derek Thompson of The Atlantic, and I see Robin right next to me. You've got a clipped out piece of a newspaper right here.
I do. And they're all over the place. I still do it.
Derek, are you still subscribing to papers?
I do. I subscribe to the New York Times.
Yep.